back to the Friends of the Rant podcast. This week I've got two interviews with Carolina Indie Fest performers. First up is the Culper Ring from Dallas, Texas. The Culper Ring plays what they refer to as dad punk. After that, I have a second interview with Greensboro's The Gooseberry Jam, who were set to appear at the Fall 2023 Carolina Indie Fest, but were forced back out at the last minute. They'll be back here this year, though, headlining Friday night. Before we get into the interviews, here's Friction by the Culper Ring, who play Carolina Indie Fest at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, May 11th at Hugger Mugger Brewing in downtown Sanford.
Tell by the drag you took on your cigarette, our conversation ain't over yet. No, not for a while. And I can see from the smoke that hangs over your head, there's plenty more you haven't said. You wanna put me on trial?
Josh from Dallas, Texas, the Culper Ring. The Culper Ring's playing Carolina Indie Fest on Saturday, May 11th at 5:30 p.m. At Hugger Mugger Brewing. And just want to say welcome. And if you just want to jump right in and, you know, tell me kind of the Culper Ring story, how you guys got started, what it is that you do, and where you're at today.
Totally. Thank you guys for having us.
Absolutely.
Obviously, thank you to Hugger Mugger for putting on the events, and we're excited to do it. But yeah, man, we fit into the equation because our drummer's from the area, grew up there. So okay. We were kind of looking for a reason to come play kind of the Raleigh-Durham area. Hugger Mugger is one of the places that I reached out to that was just kind of in the vicinity. And Tim was awesome. You know, he was like, at the time, I think we were looking for something in August of last year. And he was like, yeah, I don't really have anything right now, but I'd love to put you guys on the fest. And, you know, we jumped at the opportunity. But as far as how we started, I'm a professional musician myself. I've been doing it for probably over 15 years at this point. Okay. So I already had a couple of projects going, all original music. But our singer, Kyle, was kind of around. He was playing with another band at the time, and that band was kind of falling apart. And even I got tapped at one point to be one of the, you know, resuscitating members of this previous project. Sure. And then it was just Kyle and I that were left, and we were just like, hey, man, if we're both into it, let's do our own thing. And there were some reservations on his end because he was like a new father at the time. I think his son was like 5 or 6 at the time. So he was like, I don't know if I can commit to it the way your other bands do. And I was like, man, you absolutely do not have to. This can be something that we do for fun. I know that you're a dad, and that's kind of where our identifier as a dad punk band came from, is that we're not, you know, doing things the exact same way as a lot of the, you know, we know we're not the young hip band, but, you know, we're playing a genre that I think a lot of people are starting to love and reinvigorate, which is pop punk.
Yeah.
So that's just something that we kind of knew. We knew what we were doing with this band from the beginning. You know, we want to travel and do fun stuff, but we weren't trying to be get signed to a label or be on the road for months at a time, that sort of thing. So that's us, man.
Yeah, totally. And that's something I picked up right away with the dad punk thing. I love it. And yeah, I'm not a dad, but I'm a 44-year-old man playing music myself. So I totally get it. Right. Like, and when you're like sort of freed from those things that bands are supposed to do, particularly young bands, like getting signed to a label, doing big tours, whatever it is, like it sort of frees you up to do whatever it is that you want. And I think that comes through in your music. You guys are obviously having a ton of fun.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah, it's all about just like doing it the way we want to do it and as much or as little as we feel comfortable at the time. So that's the point.
How long have you guys been playing together?
So we started, I want to say late 2016, early 2017. That's when we were like, let's start putting the songs together. I had a song that made the record called Grow that kind of started this whole process, because I had sent it to that other band that was kind of falling apart at the time, their drummer. And that was kind of one of the things that he was like, hey, this guy's a pretty good songwriter. Let's bring him in, see if there's something we can do. And Kyle had a couple of the songs, and he was mainly, you know, I come from the world of production, where I just been, you know, since I was like a younger kid, kind of in the, my other project, Page Nine, has been a band since like the MySpace days, right?
Okay.
So I found a really good producer early on. His name's Kevin W. Gates. He's based in Springfield, Missouri, and he's done stuff for like, if you're familiar with the kind of pop punk genre, there's a band called Never Shout Never that really popped off during that era. He's got a gold record from that. So we became really good friends. So, you know, to me, it was like everything starts with a really good record, right? So that's what we started doing at first, was just like, let's put the pieces together in like 2017, 2018. Spent that whole year just like recording what would become our debut EP. And then from there, started playing the shows around 2019, and then the world shut down, and, you know, here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing I was going to ask you about. It's very production forward. It's Thank obviously, you guys know what you're doing. It sounds like it took you a while to make the record. Is that the case?
Yeah, I would say, just because, you know, like I said, the whole schedule for us was like, let's not, you know, we're not adhering to like a label type schedule or whatever. Let's do it as we can. So we're, you know, building a lot of the songs from scratch. I brought in, like I said, one song that was already done, and then another song from a previous project I was a part of that never saw the light of day. But it was a song that I really, really love. It's called It's Not Your Fault. It's on the EP as well.
Yeah.
And so I had those done. And I even think we largely re-recorded It's Not Your Fault too, because it had a different vocalist on it at the time. So, you know, it was like we had all these bits and pieces that we had to get together, and there's still a couple of songs kind of from those sessions that we like but just didn't make the cut for this, that may make like the full album in the future. But yeah, that was the thing for us, is like, it's also like our producer lives a far bit away from us, because he's probably about 6.5 hours away, right?
Okay.
So it was like going for a weekend at the time or whatever made sense for everyone to do a couple of songs here and there, and just get in the swing of it. Because now I feel like we're more so, we already have like 3 or 4 songs that are done for what will become the album. that's coming next. So we're in the swing of things now, but back then, I'd say in 2017 to like when the album came out in 2022, it was just like trying to make sure that we found what was working for us as far as our process.
Yeah. So that record comes out in 2022, and that's really sort of just as things are opening back up from COVID.
Yeah.
Were you able to get out and play at all before COVID, or was coming out of COVID like your opportunity to finally step into the limelight and do some shows?
Yeah, I want to say we did one or two shows like before COVID. You know, we're fortunate because one of the first things I figured out to do as somebody working like as a professional in this industry was like, I have to figure out how to book my own shows, right? So I have a booking agency that I've had going. Me and my wife actually started it. And we branded it at its current level, which is the Final Five Agency, in about 2019, I believe is when we started that, maybe a little bit earlier. But yeah, there was like versions of that, like me running essentially what is like a booking agency for my own bands and friends' bands and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, all the way back to when I first started. So luckily that's kind of a selling point whenever I take on new projects is just like, hey, if you want to do shows, like that's my specialty. It's like, I literally like got an associate's degree out of college in recording technology that like does me no good other than I know, you know, how to record stuff.
Yeah.
But straight from there, I went into touring because I knew that I wanted to do, and I knew that was like the backbone of it. So we're fortunate enough that like 90% of the shows that we play, I'm the promoter on. I get to call the shots. I get to pay out all the bands, and there's never any question about, you know, how money works or how we're going to make it work. So that's really nice. I've always loved that. It's very rare that I'm in a show like Carolina Indie Fest where it's like not my show. So this will be a welcome treat for me because I just get to sit back and enjoy and play the show, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to talk, go back a little bit more to the dad punk thing.
Sure.
The phrase cracks me up, but
yeah,
you know, like I don't think anybody gets into punk rock as a dad, and I'm into so much music, but for 30 years, punk rock and whatever you can squeeze under the umbrella of punk rock has probably been at the center of it. So I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit. Are you originally from Texas, and you know, what got you into that form of music?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. We're all originally from Texas, except for Scott, who's our drummer. And he's from kind of the Carolinas, came here, pretty recently, I think within the past like 10 years or so.
Okay.
But as far as all of us, man, like, you know, we grew up on it. So there's different eras for us. So Kyle, I'm 36. My singer Kyle is, and our bass player as well. I believe he's 40. Right. So like, we're like a high school difference. So like what for me is like, obviously Bowling for Soup, the Kings of Texas in our genre, right? There's also bands like that. Also like Forever the Sickest Kids, which came out of like the mall punk scene era, that sort of thing. So that was the kind of stuff I was exposed to really early on in terms of like what this genre was, which isn't early in the process whatsoever. So, you know, meeting Kyle, and he was like, grew up on bands like Alistair and, you know, anything on Fat Records, right?
Yeah.
So all of the, like, I guess what you would now call trad punk. And obviously, like, everyone knows Green Day, right? Everyone knows Blink-182. So that stuff's there. That stuff's a given. But I always kind of tell people it's funny. And we run a couple of different events. We do some of our own emo theme nights because that's the scene we grew out of. And we also do what we call Divorced Dad Rock Night because it's like, there's all of that. And then there's also like Creed and, you know, Hinder and Seether and all those bands. And I tell people all the time, I think you're seeing this more now, but for a decade there, it was like, it was very uncool to like Creed or Nickelback, but it was like fine to like Green Day or whatever. And now I think a lot of that's kind of coming together, which is how it was then, was just like, oh yeah, I just like rock music. Like, and that's kind of what we adhere to is just like, yes, sure, there's those boundary lines here and there. And like, we're certainly not trying to call Nickelback punk by any means or anything like that. But it's like, what is dad rock? Oh, that's a very fluid concept, you know?
Yeah. If you're having fun with it, why judge, you know?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned having reached out to Hugger Mugger prior to Indie Fest. You said you were looking for shows in the Carolinas, but how did Hugger Mugger and Indie Fest end up on your radar all the way out in Texas?
Yeah, no, like I said, so the first thing was like, we had done a little bit of regional touring, like Texas, Oklahoma, everything that's like touches Texas, right? Mm-hmm. But that was the next thing is like, I always try to come at it with like, hey, if we're going to play a show somewhere, let's make it somewhere that's either close enough to where like our radius with what we've done with online promotion and stuff like that can make sense for us to be out there, or we've got friends and family in the area. So that was one of the first things is Scott, our drummer, was like, well, you know, if we could play Raleigh Durham, you know, I could definitely get us a decent crowd of just like friends, relatives, that sort of thing. Yeah. And then, like I said, probably my big, even pre-COVID, but definitely during COVID project, was learning how to just be better and better at digital marketing as it relates to live events and just marketing music specifically. So, you know, there was stuff that I'd been dying to try in terms of like our events now. So like I said, we run one called Emo Revival Night, and then we run our Divorced Dad Rock Night. So, you know, I got to test those with my other band, Page Nine, in different areas, because we do a lot more national touring than the Culper Ring does. So this is kind of newer to the Culper Ring in terms of like being out this far, but it was like, it felt like a good homestead because it's a place where Scott has friends and family. And like I said, you know, when we got in touch with Hugger Mugger, they were just so welcoming because they really enjoyed the music. And man, I can't tell you how refreshing that is, because a lot of times it's a business, right? You just get emails back that are like, hey, I don't have the date, best of luck, you know? So I'm so extremely appreciative.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, my involvement in IndieFest is helping Tim do things, but I have this news outlet, and mostly we cover, you know, local happenings, government, that sort of thing. But this is an opportunity for me to have fun and talk to people about music and find new music. So I say all that to say that Tim does this because, you know, he loves it, and he loves getting, especially like a diverse group of musicians on stage. You're going to see people from every genre imaginable, but it's always awesome.
Yeah.
Are you guys doing some touring out here and back, or are you just coming for this show?
Yep. So on the way home, we're doing Columbus, and then that's already been announced. We're playing at Classics Victories in Columbus, Ohio. So that'll be the day after our dates, the 12th. And then we're going to do probably a Memphis date that I'm still finalizing right now, just on the way out. So it's a lot of driving for us, but we've got a van and a trailer that we also split with my other band. So we're set up, man. I feel good about that. And I was telling the guys in rehearsal the other day, we just did rehearsal last night, and I was like, man, this is the kind of what makes a touring band. So just be ready when it's like that situation where it's like you drive out to the show, you play the show, and then we drive in shifts to get to the next show. If it's something like, you know, I was looking just the other day, and, you know, leaving Hugger Mugger and going directly to the venue, that's about 7 hours. So it doesn't leave a lot of time for a hotel stay in there. So that's what we usually do, is just like, hey, drive 2 hours. When you feel tired, please pull over. Do not kill us. I'll be up. So I'm kind of the road worn veteran of the, of the three of us, or of the four of us, but we'll make it. Those guys are, you know, they're adults, thankfully.
So going back to the live performance, you know, we talked about punk and pop punk, especially, you know, it might be seen as sort of a younger guy's game, but or a younger guy or girl's game, but it's not really. And you get to these shows and you get people of all ages, because it's a form of music that's been around for decades. But what has been the reaction like, and what's your crowd like?
Yeah, people seem to really dig it. Like, and that's a great question. We're kind of grabbing people from what I would call like a generational thing. And me, as you can see, I'm wearing a WrestleMania hoodie. As a wrestling fan, that's the goal, right? Because it's like, that's one of the things that attracted me to wrestling, is like, I've watched WrestleManias with my friends and their fathers and their grandfathers, right? So pop punk's getting to that, right? Because it's like, you've got your first generation of like pop punk boomers that are around, right? Of just like, you've got people who are introducing their grandkids to bands like that. So we're getting a lot of that. And it's very cool to see somebody who's like in their 40s and their 50s and their teenage kids, they're bringing them to the shows for the first time. And, you know, I don't know that there's been another time in history that a band at our level that is just starting out has gotten to be so many young kids' first concert. And people go out of their way to tell us that. It's like, hey, I brought my kid tonight. It's her first concert ever. Will you sign her CD or whatever? That's like, it's so cool. That's like rock star level stuff that we get to do. And again, it just all goes back to like, A, like the marketing only works because like there's such a resurgence in the genre right now, and that may not last forever, but it's like, you know, I think the marketing for that, I think like the wise minds that like kind of I learned from in that state, but also just the fact that pop punk's totally having its moment right now on a comeback. So it's cool again. Won't be cool for forever, but we're soaking it up while it's here, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Make hay while the sun shines.
Exactly.
So you referenced the, I'm not sure if you considered an album or an EP, but the well, that's Typical record that came out in 2020.
EP, yeah, you're right.
Okay,
yeah.
And you, I think it's, what was it, seven songs on there?
Seven songs, yeah.
But
it's a long EP.
Yeah, yeah. It's somewhere in between.
Yeah, yeah.
But so you referenced having stuff done, or I don't know if you said it recorded in the can or just written.
Yes.
But yeah. So you, there is a full length record coming.
Yep. Definitely on the way. We're about four songs into that now. So just getting it done. It's a fun process for me because I alluded to it earlier. Like I kind of made myself as a musician in the studio. I feel like making some of these records. So like my producer, Kevin W. Gates, I feel like I've learned so much about musicianship and about dynamics and all these things that make a good record great from him. And that's something that I'm taking to kind of producing other artists now. So, you know, it's like when I come in with Kyle, my singer and bass player, who has not had a ton of studio experience, right? But and he has these great song ideas, right? So a lot of our songs, like Pinch Me is a great example from the EP, is a song that's just like, I had a video of him strumming it on his acoustic guitar, and there's really no form or factor there other than the melody and the chord changes, right? So I was like, okay, let me take this idea down. I got this cool idea for a little cool delay part that can start it, right? I've got a good feel that we can do on the drums. So it's doing all of that pre-production stuff in-house that's really exciting to me. And then obviously taking it, because I would say I'm a producer in the terms of like song structure, layout, picking the right notes, you know, definitely a vocal arranger. But when it comes to being an engineer and like EQing a snare, that's not me. You know, my producer like does all that stuff. He's a whiz. I cannot give him enough credit. He's earned his now two gold records that he's got under his belt, man. So like
that's awesome.
all glory to him on that kind of stuff. But as far as like, you know, putting the nuts and bolts together, we find a lot of joy in that.
That's great. And that gives me a little insight. I always like to talk to people about their, you know, their writing process. And
totally.
And I like to think about the differences between the writing process and whether you'd call it production
sure.
or arrangement, you know. So I find it fascinating that you guys can start with a chord progression and a vocal melody and then
right.
build things off of there. Whereas, you know, sometimes people will come in and they'll have everything ready or, you know,
right. yeah.
or, you know, they can tear it apart and build it back together. It's just, it just blows me away. So that's a common thing for you guys.
Yeah. And I would say that there's no wrong way to do it. I would say there's just like, whatever you think you need to, you know, cause for me, it's like making that record is like, you're putting yourself out there. You're like giving people a finished product. And for me, it was like when Kyle and I started this, we didn't have Jason, our guitar player, and Scott, our drummer. Right. So it's like, we were also trying to make a record that would attract the other band members. So we
okay.
really wanted to make sure to kind of put our best foot forward there. And now, like, obviously this is when we're doing the first couple of songs. So I think there's only like one or two songs that don't have Scott and Jason on it. That's on the EP.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's the thing, man, is like, we really, really, really wanted to make sure that we were putting our best foot forward. And, you know, for anyone who's just like, we've been playing these songs in the rehearsal room, just jamming them, and now we're going to go record them. Fucking, there's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
There's,
like you
no,
said,
wrong
there's no
way
wrong
to
way.
Do that.
Yeah.
yeah. So it's just about everyone's process. But again, I'll be the first to say I'm like way too meticulous. And sometimes you listen to, you know, a pop song on the radio and it's like, oh man, it could be that easy. And I'm way overthinking
no.
stuff sometimes.
no, like the stuff that sounds the easiest, the stuff that sounds like it's always existed, you know, it's
yep.
like the hardest to write. So,
yeah, totally.
So good job on that.
Thanks.
Do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, what people can expect from your live show?
Yeah, absolutely. So with our live show, it's kind of fun because I do a lot of, you know, everyone hates that, like, when you're up on stage playing the tuning break, like, all right, so-and-so, tell a joke, you know, while I do
yeah.
this. So we've incorporated a lot of cool stuff that we love from our childhood. So we have all these segues that have movie clips and all this kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
cool.
That's, like, a fun thing that I really like that we do. I'll tease something. We've got a cover. We were like, we're a pop punk band, and what you see a lot of these days is you see a lot of like pop punk cover acts, right? Cause like everyone wants to hear the hits, and that's where like our events kind of differ when we go out and do. So like on the show on the way back when we're playing Columbus, Ohio, we're doing a Divorced Dad Rock Night for that. So we do that kind of stuff. They're not cover based events. You know, it's like us saying like, hey, you like this music, come by, we'll play an hour's worth of overhead of like all the stuff you grew up with. And then I want you to check out new bands in that genre. Right. So for us, covers was never the main thing, but we're like, you know, we were talking and I was like, man, in terms of how I feel about covers, I feel like the best ones are you take a song completely outside of your genre and you bring it in, right?
Yeah.
And then you make it a part of your genre. So, and pop punk was great about that because back in the mid 2000s, we had the like Punk Goes volumes, right? So we had Punk Goes Crunk, Punk Goes Pop, Punk Goes Classic Rock, all that kind of stuff. So on that kind of theory, we worked out a Celine Dion cover, a pop punk version. Very, very excited about it. So we'll be debuting that. We're excited.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well, I always like to close these things by just giving you the opportunity to tell people, you know, obviously everybody's on the internet. There's all the social medias, the streamers, but if there's a place where people can get information about your band, people can listen to your music and where you prefer them to do that, please take the opportunity to share that.
Love it. Sweet. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, we are the Culper Ring. It is a historical reference. It is George Washington's spy ring from the American Revolutionary War.
I caught that. I saw a little bit of that TV show.
Yeah. Turn, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, and people always ask for it. I'm like, what is the Culper Ring exactly? And it's like, oh, that's kind of, and that's the ultimate nod to how we're a dad band is the fact that it's a historical reference.
Yeah. History Channel stuff.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, man, the Culper Ring and it's the Culper Ring band is all the socials. I think everything but Twitter. So if Twitter's your thing, it's just the Culper Ring TX. But yeah, that's where all of our stuff is. We're on Spotify, YouTube, everything. If you just search it, we've got pretty good SEO, so you should be able to find us. But yeah, all socials, just the Culper Ring band.
Excellent. Well, look, thank you for joining me. You guys play, I believe it's 5:30 on Saturday, May 11th at Hugger Mugger.
Yes, sir.
I've been here before, I'm fighting my way. Look out by your hand, I'm not scared.
That was It's Not Your Fault by the Culper Ring, who play Carolina Indie Fest at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, May 11th at Hugger Mugger Brewing in downtown Sanford. Next up is our interview with the Gooseberry Jam, who hail from Greensboro. The Gooseberry Jam will headline the first night of Carolina Indie Fest at 8:45 p.m. on Friday, May 10th. Here's In Front of Your Eyes by the Gooseberry Jam. After the interview, I'll play Microscopic Mountains.
Seeking in front of your eyes.
I am now joined by Greensboro, North Carolina's Gooseberry Jam, who I interviewed back in September ahead of Carolina Indie Fest in the fall. They were not able to make it, but they are on board for Carolina Indie Fest Spring 2024. So why don't you guys just jump in, tell me the Gooseberry Jam story once again, and we'll go from there.
Man, I don't know. Who all we got on here? Who's here? Me and Sean, I know. Who else is here?
Randy's here.
All right, Randy. Oh, cool. Good deal. I don't know. Story, I'll let somebody else take that one for a change. Yeah, I'm putting it on you, Sean.
All right. So, to the best of my knowledge, I believe that this band has been through a handful of iterations and has wound up where we are. And we've done some cool shit the past few years. You know, we've morphed well as a band and doing a lot of original stuff, which is what keeps me here, and progress well. That's the simplest way I can put it.
Came into our own sound.
Definitely. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Definitely. This album that we're hopefully going to have ready soon really is much more an album of this band, this lineup, you know, than, you know, the last one I think we talked about before was songs that I had already written before these guys came into the picture. But this one is really a band album more so.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. The last time we spoke back in the fall, you guys mentioned that this album was sort of in progress.
Yeah.
But it sounded like it was at that time early in the process. Where are you at now with it?
We're really close. I think I've got vocals to lay down on maybe three more tracks, and there's a few guitar tracks that need to be laid down. And I think that's about it. Doyle kind of keeps up with it better than most of us, I think. But I believe that's where we're at in Doyle.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We've got two tracks that need basically all of Daryl's vocals, and then one that needs like maybe a couple choruses, and then a couple Wes tracks and some background harmonies, and that's pretty much it. We've pretty much been... we did it at the band house where we recorded the drums. And then Wes and I kind of did our tracks here at my place. And then me and Daryl kind of get there early at practice on Thursdays and have been knocking out his vocal tracks. And we're really close.
Talk, I guess, a little bit about the difference between being able to pull this off as a full band, and then when you're in the moment where you've got to record your parts, you know, being able to do that without a full band, is it a challenge? Is it something that just, you know, you're ready to do? How does that go?
I would rather do everything with the whole band playing, you know, it just feels more natural to do it that way. But that being said, and vocals are, you know, they're pretty easy to do with the, you know, just listening through the cans and having them, you got the full band there. So you just land, you know, it's almost like your own little personal karaoke thing.
Yeah.
And as long as the mix is good in the headphones, you know, it still feels like the whole band's there. You know, obviously the energy is a little bit different, but we always kind of try to, you know, get in the headspace and get in the mood before I start doing vocal tracks or anything. Especially as far as me personally, you know, doing my stuff. Just try to get right headspace. So when I jump in to start laying my tracks down, I'm giving it everything I've got, just as if we were doing it live.
Yeah.
It's probably the most boring for Sean, because whenever we record the initial track, literally all we're saving is the drum track, and we're all in headphones, you know, there's just not that oomph of the full band in a room there. So, Sean kind of gets the short end of the stick when it comes to the album recording process, but
it's a fucking challenge, man.
Yeah, it's tough. But for me, honestly, I love playing live and recording because obviously it's fun playing live music, but when I'm here at the house laying down tracks, there's a lot of parts that come to me that I've never really played before in our live setting, and that I'll throw in there and just kind of sprinkle in on a song, and it may not even be a major part of the song, but it sounds really cool in the studio, you know, and just to have that little extra piece there just to fill in some space is a lot of fun for me to come up with and find those parts.
Yeah, like texture, just little parts that, yeah, like
exactly,
maybe even the average listener might not even hear, but like if it's your song, you want it there.
And it's funny because some of those parts may even become a key part in the live setting later on because I like it better than another part.
Yeah. For people who may not have heard the prior episode that you were on, I want to say that Gooseberry Jam was slated to play Carolina Indie Fest back in September of 2023. That was unable to happen because of, I think it was COVID, which y'all obviously made the smart decision, but I just want to kind of start from there and talk about like what that felt like and, you know, how it feels to be able to come back and, or will not come back, but be able to do this one and bring this, you know, this presence of your music to Carolina Indie Fest 2024.
It's great to have the opportunity to come back. I'm really glad Tim, you know, was open to I know I would say open to taking a chance on us again. I guess it's not really taking a chance. It's not like we bailed on him, you know, we did.
Yeah.
We battled with it a little bit for, you know, a good day and a half, just like, well, what are we going to do? Can we do, cause you know, it was outdoors, but then it's like, yeah, but we're sharing a lot of space with a lot of different people. And, you know, so we felt like it was a responsible thing to do, to back out, but still, regardless of the reason, I didn't know come spring if there was going to be an open slot for us, you know, and this was an opportunity to put our music out there to a lot of people that generally wouldn't hear it or wouldn't know anything about us. So it was really a bummer to have to drop out of it. And so I'm really opportunity to, you know, to hopefully get back out there, get out there this time, like you say, and throw our music out to everybody and hopefully gain some new fans.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
see a lot of other good music too while we're there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I listened back to our interview from September, and I felt like one of the things I got myself in trouble with was that I sort of referred to y'all as a jam band, and I know now that's not the case, but but I want to kind of give you guys an opportunity again. We obviously, you know, it's 6 months later, there may be new people listening. I want to give you guys an opportunity to just start with talking about your music and what it is that you do. We played a song, but I want you to be able to tell people, you know, where you come from and what it is that y'all want to achieve with your music.
For me, it's, well, first of all, going to the jam band thing, I think what we said last time was we're not a jam band, but we're a band that's not afraid to jam.
That's right. Something that. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
If we feel like stretching something out a little bit, then we will, but we're certainly not a jam band. Yeah. Terms that most people think of a jam band as, but we do, when we're live, we like to give ourselves the freedom to kind of move around with a little bit and maybe do something that we haven't done before or normally don't do, or just kind of, you know, we let the feeling and the energy kind of lead that on certain songs. Some songs that you can't really, you know, have that event or have that opportunity. But as far as where we want to go with it, it's, I don't even know that we've ever sat down and said, what kind of music are we going to write? Or what do you want to do for this? More like the songs just kind of come, you know, whether Doyle brings a riff, a complete song down, or Randy has brought, you know, all of at least parts of, if not complete songs, you know, to the table. And I don't think we really worry so much about, is this what we want to do? Or we have talked about the time, like, okay, let's work on a song that does this or whatever. It's just kind of whatever comes to us. If we like playing it and the feeling's there, then that's all it takes, you know, to me at least.
That's awesome. And I think that's like a good indicator of people who have gone to, so to speak, the school of rock, you know, like if something sounds good, let's do it, you know.
If it sounds good, hey, good. Let's go there. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that came up the last time we talked is there was some talk of a YouTube channel, and I was told it was there, and you know, sort of, it was a work in progress. Has that advanced any?
I think the record got in the way of that.
It did.
I completely understand that.
And plus there's just so many there's so many different live videos that other people have posted on Facebook. Like, I don't think we've really posted hardly any live videos on our actual channel, whether it's Facebook or YouTube, but it's just a matter of us sitting down and kind of compiling those videos and spending the time to upload them on YouTube. So that's after this album is done, that's definitely a target that we're going to jump onto.
I mean, yeah. I think it's a testament though to the way y'all sound and what y'all do that like your fans are putting it out there. That's cool. That's cool as hell.
Sure. Yeah. That always feels good when you, especially if you stumble across one that you didn't know was there or something, you know, on Facebook, a lot of times people post stuff, they'll tag us or tag one of us or the band. Cool. But then a lot of times just fumbling through something, it's really awesome. It feels good to know that somebody cared enough to record it. And then, hey, this is, you know, good enough that I'm going to upload it here, and, you know, whatever reason, whether they think that we sounded good enough or they're going, we're going to make fun of these assholes, you know, whatever.
Well, there's no such thing as bad press, right?
Hey, there you go. Yeah, the YouTube thing that we have, Doyle and I, the last couple of weeks, have really started grabbing from wherever, looking through a lot of those videos that are out there online on different platforms. We've been grabbing them and kind of like, hey, this is a really good one. So we do, they've not been uploaded to the channel. We do have some that were kind of in the wings waiting to be uploaded. Like Sean said, the album got in the way. It's always weird. Doing live shows always tends to getting an album finished and trying to get the album finished gets in the way, you know, but that's kind of the way it goes, I guess.
Well, when rock and roll isn't your full-time job, no matter how much you want it to be,
yeah,
I'm with you there, you know, like you sort of end up prioritizing.
Exactly. And unfortunately, a lot of things get pushed to the back burner, but you know, we don't, we might drag our feet. So we're always trudging forward, you know, no matter how slowly. I think we're always trying to move forward.
I hear you. Well, what's been going on for the last 6 months since I talked to you guys?
This album.
Yeah, a little bit of practice and mostly an album.
Yeah.
Really, really been done. For a while there, we were working just the album so much, just kind of trying to hone things down, get the basic track. You know, the drums and to build off of that, we weren't even really quote unquote practicing. We were getting together at practice room and we were working on things, but we really weren't playing together as a band. And then that got to a point where it was like, man, we really got to play because this is getting, it gets stale. You know, if you don't have that energy of being and playing together and bouncing off of each other. So we had to kind of go back and forth a little bit. The two things, just to keep in practice, obviously, but also just to kind of keep the bond between us as musicians, you know, and feed off of each other, not let that fall to the wayside solely on the album. I know it sounds weird to say we're working on an album, so we're losing ourselves musically.
I think we all, the first time we actually came to practice with the mindset of, hey, we're going to practice and jam together after getting the majority of the initial tracks done, I think we all kind of felt like that our musical connections were a little bit loose because it had been so long since we came to play just to play. So
we
kind of have to do that every now and then to keep those connections there.
The songs we recorded were better though, right? I mean, that's always the good thing about coming off making a record is that you're always
definitely
better.
It definitely gets you more in tune with the song and kind of solidifies the structure and stuff.
Yeah, I really needed to learn them.
Yeah, Sean doesn't really practice per se. So he just comes in and somehow is able to be a rock and roll drummer and do his thing.
I mean, if you can do that, that's awesome. I can't do that. I don't know a lot of people that can do that, but good on you, man.
Sounds awesome.
I'm a simple guy, man.
Yeah, and it's I like the aspect of kind of learning the song or even writing the song. I mean, the songs that right now that I've got, the couple, two or three that I've lyrics down, they're probably leftovers or not leftovers. They're the ones that are left because I really don't have, there's maybe a verse missing on each one or something. I think at this point I've almost got them, but I kind of like to write as we're going. I like to work on the song while we're recording it almost when it's possible. It keeps it fresher that way because I get burned out on recording really quickly. So if I can kind of throw ideas out as we go or work, change things as we're doing the recording or as we're, you know, from week to week, that keeps it better for me, keeps it more interesting, more, you know, keeps me on my toes more, I guess.
Yeah. And that's something really cool. Like you can approach a studio situation with a song as complete as you think it's going to be. But also, if you recognize that the studio is a place, it's like the last stop for changes. And it's the last place where you're going to hear this before it goes on to the next step. And that means it's the last place where, you know, new ideas can come in and you can hear things in a way for the first time. And that gets you in a kind of creative space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
and really you have cool. to do it right. You know, you have to do it right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So go ahead, Daryl.
I was just going to say, and yeah, with me, I think, it's almost easier. I think like when Sean was like, you have to do it right. And we certainly put it right with me. It's, now speaking of just, singing and doing whatever, because we'll sit there and do, you know, three or four takes on the same song or maybe just a verse or whatever, I can change on the fly. And I'm kind of, I've got a knack for coming up with lyrics on the fly. I can't tell you how many times I've forgotten the lyrics to my own song while we're playing live, but I'll just kind of make up something on the spot. And most of the time, thankfully, it lands. You know?
It does. It does.
And sometimes it sticks. You change the lyrics.
Yeah, exactly.
For the good, for the better.
Well, I had written and they just come up with something off the fly. And then somebody will send us a recording. Oh, you know what? I wrote a whole second verse of that song that I didn't even realize I was doing, but there it is. And stuff like that's great. That's like the magic of music to me, you know, when something like that can happen.
Yeah. And there's something about being in the moment, which is something we talked about last time, where I think we came down on, like you said, you're not a jam band, but you're a band that knows how to jam when it's time. And and not being afraid to step into that space and put yourself out there. And again, like, that's something that excites me as a musician, because what I know how to do is learn the script and stick to it. But I'm really always very impressed with bands that can be like, this is my moment to go off script. And I just always fascinated by how that works. Does any of that come into the studio for y'all?
Certainly. I mean, speaking for myself, I mean, that is the only thing that keeps me engaged, man, is the opportunity to be free with how we play. I mean, of course we stick to the script, you know, and we do the thing, but you know, just to where it's different every time and everybody is open to that. I mean, that's a big deal to me. And at my age, that's what keeps me engaged.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And again, hats off to y'all, because like I told you last time, I'm a half-ass guitarist. I can't imagine doing that, you know?
Well,
you definitely have to put yourself out there sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Well, you have to have the skill to do it, too. And so
I'm a half-ass at everything there. I do, man, but I'm real good at fooling everybody, you know what I mean?
I hear you. Fake it till you make it, right?
What I've been telling people the whole time I've playing in bands my entire life is like, oh, I just fake it really good. That's all.
Yeah.
You know? It's just not that great. I just know how to fake it really good.
No, I mean, you guys sound really great. And Daryl, you sent me three of your newer songs, and they all sound awesome. So, and two of which I am playing on this podcast. So excited. I'm excited for people to hear it.
Nice. We are excited to get this thing out.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a time frame, or is it still too far out to say?
It should not be too far out to say, but every time I say, I jinx us, I think. And so it's falling backwards. So I'm not going to say anything except that it's soon.
It's as fluid as the Atlantic Ocean, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear you. I mean, it's a tough thing, like, to get in there and you hear the raw takes and you go, oh my God, we are 75% done. And then that last 25% can...
Right.
Take exactly. God knows how long.
Yep, exactly. But we really, really are close. Like we said, you know, early on in the conversation, we are down, as the old farmers would say, we're short rows.
I hear you.
Hopefully by the end of the early summer at the very latest, I would like to say it's gonna be there, but hope that I didn't just jinx us by even saying that.
Way to go. We're almost there, man.
Yeah.
We've
almost made it.
What are the plans for the release?
God, that's another hard question, Gordon.
I don't mean to ask hard questions.
We really, that's a conversation we've touched on, but haven't really finished. I think, you know, we're discussing, you know, how many CDs are we going to get pressed as opposed to, you know, just, digital release and whatnot. So it's kind of, that's something that's a conversation we still have to have. We've touched on, but we hadn't finished that conversation yet.
But people will be able to find it, obviously.
Absolutely. And we will definitely do some, we'll have some CDs. I don't know how many we'll press, but we'll definitely have some, and it will be on, you know, all the music.
Yeah. It's a whole conversation anymore. Like
it is.
Like physical media, is it worth it? Is it
absolutely?
Yeah,
that's a big question now. But we have, there's a certain demographic of our fans that definitely want that physical disc in their hand. You know,
that's right.
You know, and I'm still, you know, I'd still like to have something to hold too. You know,
yeah.
I love the artwork that goes along with an album or CD, whatever, you know, all of that. It's just that you don't get on, you know, digital release, you know, or not near as much. I like it something tangible, something I can hold and look at and check out. And, you know, but I know some younger kids today might not care about all that kind of stuff, but that's an important, I think it's all part of the art package of the whole deal, you know?
That's right. That's right. The an album is not just the songs. It's the package.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So,
and I think that's what a lot of people are kind of remembering these days about music and why vinyl has gained its popularity, you know, in the past decade.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just like photographs, people forget what it's like to actually physically hold something like that in your hand. And I mean, it's one of the main reasons I collect vinyl, you know, as a graphic artist. I love to open up the record and look at the artwork or the little inserts and stuff that come with the record. And it's kind of like an extra little art piece that comes along with the music.
Yeah. It's part of the experience for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Well, I always like to get, like I did this last time and I want to do it again. Where can people find music from the Gooseberry Jam? Where can people find information about the band, tour dates, whatever it might be? And, you know, there's probably lots of places, but where do you guys prefer for people to find that information?
Typically Facebook, I guess, a Facebook page, which again, we drag our feet a lot of times about getting things out there, but, we'll definitely put our dates up on there and, start getting that stuff out there better, in the near future. We're on all the music platforms, the album, you know, that we had out from 2018, but in this new album, we'll be on, you know, all the platforms. So you'll be able to go find us there for sure. And we promise we'll get all these things uploaded to the Gooseberry Jam YouTube channel soon.
Well, look, thank you guys for joining me again. You guys are headlining Friday night of Carolina Indie Fest, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And I can't wait to see you guys. I'm going to come introduce myself, and I hope that everybody in the world is there to see you guys.